We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building, Emery Jones. Emery, welcome back.
What up, though?
How's it feeling?
Feel good. I see these beautiful chairs y'all got.
Different studio, different energy, a little bigger.
Getting a little more money.
Trying.
We trying to keep up with y'all.
We trying.
It shows the chairs show.
I asked you the other night, man, because you know you're here celebrating the 50 years of hip hop, so it's a lot going on. You got the Humble Souls mixtape. You know, the Book of Hov that they got at the Brooklyn Public Library. And I asked you the other night when I saw you after that premiere, did you see all of this for you and your team?
Absolutely not. Mm. I mean, you see winning. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, you get into it and you wake up every day like, I'm going to win. You know what I mean? That's the mentality, like win. But there's no way in the world you've seen this.
Mm-hmm. When you seen the play set up from early on, what was the finish line? At that point, when y'all were having initial conversations, like, what was the finish line? Because what was success at that time?
I think it was different finish lines, right? The first finish line was like, how do you get out the projects and make it to 560 State Street, right? Mm-hmm. That was a win, right? To get out of, you know, and you know, down the block, but you breathing room, right? And then, you know, from there, it's like, when you watch NASCAR, I'm looking at the car, right? It's a season. So you got to get by race. And at the end of the day, if I continue to stay on the podium throughout the year, my chances of winning are great. Mm. I don't mean I got to win every race. But if I'm on the podium, there's only 3 spots on the podium. My point's going to continue to put me in a position to win, right? And I think that's how I looked at it. If we stay on the podium, even through them years was though, you know, ain't no albums, ain't no boom. If you stay on the podium, our chances of winning and having a dynasty, the way we have, is greater, you know what I mean? So I think we just looked at it as chapters. Always, like I said, that point system.
Were you ever the hustler podium that was like, man, we ain't doing no rap. There's too much money in these streets. We staying in, like, rap.
I mean, in the beginning, because, you know, for me, you a kid, I don't understand that, right? I don't see it, and I'm like, you know, what we doing? But then it came a point where as though I'm like, okay, let's go. Mm-hmm. But then you're not seeing the results. So if you come from eating, you're like, wait a minute, what are we doing? Like, mm-hmm. it ain't adding up, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like you had to get past that stage of just like, it's supposed to be instant gratification, right? It's a process like everything else. And once I realized that, it was like, it was a little too late by the time I realized that, because I had to go, you know,
sit down for a
little vacation, you know what I mean?
I was going to ask, when did you get to a place in your life where you could let your guard down, right? Because through the whole time in the streets, your guard was up. When you was locked up, guards was up.
Right.
I'm sure when you came home at first, guards was up. When did you finally get to a place where you could put your guards down?
Honestly, for me to be to this point, you guards up, but you got, you know, you jabbing. So when you jabbing, you got one guard up and you jabbing. That's the only way to survive, right? You got to deal with people and be in places that you know you ain't got to be in, but you got to deal with it. So to put yourself in them situations, you got to put your guard down some. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like just to walk into that situation. So I've always done that to get to this point. But I think in the last couple years, it's been that time where as though you let it all go. You let it all go and be like, you know what? I ain't, you know, I can let go of all that. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Like, I don't even like talking about the old war stories.
Past,
right?
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? Because it's like one of my friends hit me one day and was like, yo, you know it's the such and such year anniversary you came home. And I was like, yo, I forgot that date a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I forgot that date because I don't want that to be such a significant part of
your life.
My history. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't get me wrong, it's a part of it. And I'm, you know, I embrace it. I'm not, you know, I don't turn from it, but it's like, I'm not gonna let that be something I'm gonna celebrate for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I came home,
it's not too many people who can come home and make the transition that you did though. Like I almost feel like it should be like a case study on how to do your bid, come home, and then like, you know, really reacclimate yourself to society.
It's a difficult situation, mm-hmm. man. It's not simple, right? And don't get me wrong, I got a support system, but some other people have support systems too, and it's just not as simple as people think.
Mm-hmm.
Just to adjust, right? Or just to, you know, walk through and find that next thing, right? Because when you're in, you're so in the streets that you don't even give yourself a chance to separate.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're bidden, you still gotta be in tune with the world. And most people want to be too in tune. It's like being in the system, we can wake up and know what happened in the hood before people in the hood know.
Wow.
That's how people are tuned. That's how you know, you function. Because at the end of the day, the system, you know, if you're in the real world, the system is a part of the real world, especially when you're doing dirt.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Or when you're mm-hmm. in the world. So it really goes hand in hand. So you really don't have a chance to move forward,
right?
Because the world is still happening. Situations that left the streets are still coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Life is still going on. Family is always something going on. So you a lot of times you don't even get a chance to shake it and understand what's my next move. And then you get back here, regardless of how much time you done, you haven't had time to shake it, and then you come jump right in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a simple situation.
I was gonna ask.
Not easy.
No. We're dealing with Jay. How much pressure do you have on you, right? And the reason I ask, right, you know, when we listen to Hov records and he says Emery done lap y'all niggas and, mm-hmm. and Emery done got the cocaine on and you know, talking about just so much pressure because of what you've done when you came home and how you were able to create this empire for yourself. Is that pressure on you at all?
No, I think he says it in a way where as though to those who, you know, always look at things for an angle, you make it a thing. I think for him, it's more of inspiring the next person to be like, yo, that's my guy, I'm gonna speak on my guy. Mm-hmm. But it's really telling the guys like, yo, you can, you know what I mean? There's a lot of opportunity in there for you to do that, right? So I don't look at it as pressure. I don't take it as pressure because I feel like, you know, when somebody see me doing it, regardless how it's delivered, that means they can sit back and say, I have a chance to do it.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, when you know you have a chance, and you give yourself a thought to say you have a chance, anything's possible.
That's what you represent to me. You represent, you know, hope in a real way. I was even watching the interview you did with Clue, and I think your mindset is a mindset a lot of people don't have. When you said you knew what you was doing in the street, and you said there's only three ways up. There's jail, death, or that small possibility you might make it. So
yes.
You said that helped you do your bid.
I mean, think about it, because, you know, we look at, you know, what's going on in the world, and we always analyzing everybody. We always opinionated. We always, you know what I mean? And it's like, nah. It's like one thing about the game. First thing you have to understand and lock in your mind from day one, it's only them three options.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be clear with yourself, right? A lot of times people don't be clear with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I understand, because, you know, we say we getting into it, you know, to change, you know, family's life and, you know, get out the hood. And it's mm-hmm. like, when you think about it, most of that is false.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as you get a chance and, you know, you make that first, say you make 20,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's 20,000 you ain't have.
Mm.
So imagine if you do something with that 20,000 that you never had.
Mm.
You can stop right there.
Mm-hmm.
Then you take it further. Okay, you get past the 20. Some make 100. Some make 200. Okay, you make 200. That's 200,000 you never had, and you got a chance to do something with it. But guess what? We don't look at that.
Mm.
We want some more,
mm-hmm.
right? And then, you know, when everything get thrown in, the first thing we do is blame the system, right? At the end of the day, you know, when you choose to step in that world, I chose to step into that world, so I gotta deal with the consequences and hold that. So that's why I said them three things of, you know, it's only death, jail, and it's only a slim chance to get through. And that's something that everybody should look at regardless what. And guess what? I'm never gonna tell somebody what he should do or not do.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that moment, you can't tell me.
Mm.
And right now, tomorrow, if things get a little twisted, you can't tell me what I should do or what I do or don't do. I'm going to do what I have to. So I'm never going to say it from a lens of which somebody should do. It's just the reality is it's only them three things.
What do you think morals change for both the streets and the industry, right? You look at a lot of the things that you've been through and you can see people change,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, at one time it was, let's say somebody hustled or somebody was in the industry, they did it for a reason. They did it to get out the hood. They did it to make money. But now it seems like it's a change for clout, where it's people's morals have changed for social media.
I think we putting too much blame on social media.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes that's just who we are.
All these people cut like that?
I mean, social media amplifies it. Right? Social media help it, you know, us look at it, and then for those who are not strong enough to understand it can just to it. But I think a lot of it comes from who you are already, right?
You was who you was before you got here.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, different levels to it. You feel what I mean? It's different levels to it. I think, you know, the reality is sometimes we forget to use social media to work for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's it. I mean, it's a gift and a curse at the same time. But if you use it correctly, it can really benefit you in some ways. If you don't, it can really, you know, not benefit you, but still benefit you, right?
Right.
It, like, there's a lot of people winning. I can't knock them for, you know, I'd rather for some to do that than go do some other dumps, you know,
mm-hmm.
some a lot of other foolishness somebody can do.
Let me ask you, if social media was around back in the day when you guys first started out, do you think that you could be where you're at now, or do you think social media would have tarnished that a little bit?
Because
some of the what made, I think, not only Rockefeller, but you and Jay and Ty and Biggs and Dame was a little bit of the not knowing.
The mystique.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, I would go to the office all the time and it was that mystique. There's so much, you know, you just didn't see it. But now it's kind of like, if y'all go, we can tell where you're at before you tell somebody,
exactly.
Right? Because, you know what I mean? You'd be like, oh, there's Emery in France. You know what I mean? It's,
right, I tell people all the time, it's like, especially, you know, when you get people and they take a picture, right? And the first thing they want to do is go throw the picture up because you want to be in real time. And it's like, if the picture means something, it means something today, next year, or the year after.
That's right.
It's how you use the picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
It don't have to be in real time. I think even in time when social media started, it still takes you. Social media been around how long?
20 plus years.
Yeah, about 20 years.
20 plus years. Mm-hmm. And Jay have made it his business be like, I'm not messing with that. Mm-hmm. That's his choice, right? So even at that moment, it's here and it's here and it's big. And it's like you say, you can amplify whatever you're doing with it if you use it correctly. It's just still having that moment of saying, you know, I'm doing it or not doing it. Like for me, I love the fact that, you know, social media give people a chance to just, you know, be whatever they choose to be at that moment. It's up to you if you want to take it in and believe it, don't mm-hmm. believe it, and mm-hmm. how serious you want to do it. You know, it's life. You know what I mean? It's really what we see every day. Mm-hmm. So we can't blame it on social media. You go back to the neighborhood, it's the same energy and the same different things happening all day long.
Well, you've been getting fresh for a long time, so it makes sense that you're the head of lifestyle of Roc Nation and the co-founder of Paper Planes. But how did you show off the fits back in the day with no social media?
It's like you said, it's like you first, if your crew respect it,
got you.
It goes there. It's like, you know, if your crew respect it, it goes there. And then if you're traveling around, like I said, I look at the world is three universal languages, right? Regardless of where you're from, who you are, what you're doing. Like, I'm going to always say this, music, sports, and fashion, mm-hmm. right? That's that universal language, right? For mm-hmm. me, I've always used fashion to be that, put your guard down. Because you walk in the room before you know who we are, talk, mm-hmm. right? What's the first thing we do as humans? Sight. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if I give you that, you know, fresh, you walk in the door, you're like, even if you don't come say nothing to me, mentally, mm-hmm. you like, man, he did that. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you already done put that guard down, right? So I done got past one hurdle already, right? And I just think, you know, the expression of fashion is just, it's not the clothes. You still got to get in them.
Right.
So it's like the human, we buy the same clothes. It's just the human side. It really expresses you in different ways. And it's always been me, because being a so-called, to my brothers, a country boy, I got the strike against me already. Because mm-hmm. they like, you know, we don't have the top stores and the boom. So you're not expecting you to be mm-hmm. as fresh. Mm-hmm. So now when I come in and use that as my muse, I'm fresh. So it's right. Like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just one of them things.
I understand why up north people act like they not as country as us down south. They match everything, they do the same thing, the wild colors.
I don't know.
We do it with a pair of Air Force Ones, that's why.
Huh? Y'all do it Tims. With everything. Air Force
that's,
Ones.
I said, as long as we match it with a pair of Air Force Ones or Tims, we kind of.
That's the balance. Us, you know, somewhere else, they gonna make sure. You know, the night he got the four colors in it. You know what I'm saying?
The four colors in the joy. He got a mask. I was going to ask, you know what? How difficult was it to turn Puma into a company that the culture really loves, right?
Because y'all did that.
You know, because growing up, you know, of course we were into, you know, Nikes and Jordans because of Jordan. Of course, Adidas because of Run DMC at times. But Pumas, we weren't really into Pumas because I don't think we ever seen any of our favorite people wearing Pumas. So there was the Puma... I call them the classic, right? That's like the Air Force Ones. There's the shell tops, and then there's that. I don't even know what they're called.
Clyde.
The Clyde, right? The Clyde. Clyde.
But that's the point, right? I think that was the part for me, was having the real conversation about Puma. For us, even though it's a German company, for us, the reason why we know Puma is because of a black man.
That's right.
Clyde Frazier, of course.
Yep.
Clyde, like, so I just had to tap back in the letting the world dig back to understand that part, right? And then you walk it down from there, right? Like, it should be in the conversation, because it's been there. You think about it, Clyde was the first ever to have his own sneaker as an athlete, mm-hmm. right? And then, like I say, when you look at Puma, for us, you think about Clyde first. Mm-hmm. You don't think about nothing else. You think about Clyde, then, you know, you go back to that moment when Tommy Smith at the Olympics.
That's right, mm-hmm. Fist up.
Like, it's so many iconic moments from Pele, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like, it's so many iconic moments that it was like, let me go tap back into that and walk that process down, right? Because if you wake up, I remember when I used to have a small foot and I couldn't wait till my foot grows so I can get the big boy shoes. Because you know when you got a small foot, if they got a bubble, you ain't got the bubble in your mm-hmm. shoe. You know what I'm saying? It was always something missing mm-hmm. from the little kid's mm-hmm. shoe, right? So it was like, and I got my first pair of suede Pumas, right? I remember that because it was like, regardless that it wasn't as high as a pair of Jordans or whatever the case may be, it was the luxury of suede. Mm-hmm. Like, to put on a suede shoe that, like, who you from? You just don't wake up and know what suede is.
Mm-hmm. Right. I wear them damn near every day.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so it was like having that moment with an iconic brand. I know what to talk. I know what that, because that's why I could walk in the room and say, what was your first pair of Pumas? And everybody going to be like, yo, I had a pair of suedes. They're going to tell you when they got them, mm-hmm. where they got them from, what was going on. So I just used that thinking to walk it down. The thought was, for a company like Puma, they think if we make product for the new generation, that that's the thing. And it's like, nah, they got too much. They got too much mental. They mental is already taken up. Mm-hmm. Nike and Jordan and them got that already. You can't win that mental space, right? So I got to dig in and go back to history and heritage and let product design catch up later. And it was a process. Mm-hmm. You got to figure, it's 12 years for me.
What was the most difficult part of it? Because I also seen a couple of artists that, you know, were signed to Puma, and then, you know, I guess they didn't wear it all the time. Like, when mm-hmm. they're doing shows, you still see them with Jordans, or, no, you still
see
them with
Let's be clear, though. Emery made Puma popular.
Yeah, absolutely.
Emery Jones made Puma popular without even spitting a ball.
Yeah, but right. that's the thing, right? I think when you look at it, I don't expect them to wear Puma every day, right? Think about that time when Jay had S. Dot Carter. The sneaker was booming, mm-hmm. right? And it was a moment where, as though he was sitting courtside or somewhere, and he's Whitfield Nike, but then he's wearing Adidas at that moment, because that's what we are as culture, right? You can't put somebody in a box and say, you know, this. If you do that, then it's not real.
We wear what's fly, right?
It's not real. Like, yeah. You need somebody to express themselves. It's like, today I feel like this. So this is the reason why I'm throwing on my Nikes today, or this is the reason why I'm throwing on my Adidas today, because like you said, them Adidas going to take you back to the Run DMC days, or the such and such days as a moment. So for me, I don't like when somebody say they have to be that regardless. What? Don't get me wrong, I wish you would wear it more. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When you can find yourself in it, but I don't expect them to be that, because I feel like now it's not going to feel real. Mm. It's not going to come off right.
When it comes to fashion, do you feel like hip-hop is doing a good job of, you know, highlighting it during this 50th year of hip-hop? Because I feel like it's been just about the music, but I feel like fashion is just as important.
I mean, I think with the music, fashion is there, mm-hmm. right? I think, you know, there'll be times where, though, right now you hear about the music because it started with the music, right? Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, you're going to see moments where, though, fashion is going to play a part. You can't have the music without the fashion and the fashion without the music, right? Mm-hmm. So I think we just got to, you know, let the time go, because really, next month is when it really hits in, mm-hmm. 50. I think it's mm-hmm. August, like August 10th, 11th, mm-hmm. somewhere around there. It's really that date.
Let me look it up, because they're going to be bad. We ain't know this, man.
Yeah, so I think, you know, you're going to see the moments. And I think you don't have to force the moment of fashion and music. I think it all lives together. And I think, you know, us paying homage to just 50 years, it's there. It's like, We all here, you see. You know what I mean? It's all there.
One thing I would say that I thought that you did that was very smart was, like you said, it's all about how we dress, right? So mm-hmm. people were more connected to Nike or more connected to Adidas because it was a tracksuit, right? We could wear everything head to toe all the way down and it matched. Mm-hmm. Puma didn't have that at first that I seen, or the stores weren't selling it until you started making those tracksuits. Now when I wear, if I want to wear Pumas, I can wear a whole set. Yeah. Because I don't want to be the dude that wears the Adidas tracksuit and have some Pumas on. It just didn't feel right.
But that's, you know, I'm going to be political correct right now. When you look at a Puma T7 tracksuit, that's like from 69.
Word up.
But we couldn't find it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So at a moment as a brand, you know, we're trying to get in the mix of get back in the realm of culture conversation, but we don't have the product in place to do that at that moment, right? And I was having this conversation in Germany one time, and I'm sitting there telling the CEO, like, yo, we hot right now, but you can't go to the store and get a Puma tracksuit. And then there's somebody else in the room who's another big shot in the room, like, yes, you can. And I'm like, you can't. You know what I mean? Just understanding that we're bringing all this heat and getting back traction, but you ain't got nothing for the guy for what they want, because guess what? You're so busy trying to mm-hmm. chase that next thing. And I'm like, nah, man, like, you dealing with kids, you see the kids now, they gonna put on a Puma tracksuit but still put the Air Force Ones on, mm-hmm. right? You gotta understand that, you know, first
that's
thing
blasphemy.
You,
My God.
No,
You should be arrested for that.
No, that's it, man. Like, I mean, I know some of the most fashionable guys love the cross brands.
Right.
That's just what they do.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it's not for me, but I know a lot of people that do that. So, it's I think when you look at it, the T7 tracksuit was the fit. It was just the fit of it what made the kid like, oh, I like this fit, and mm-hmm. I love the thing. And you know, I ain't getting away from my Air Force Ones. I'm okay with that.
Was it difficult to get in some of these stores?
Yes, because you got to figure, if you ain't been around, you know what I mean? It's hard to come get some space. Like, right. You got to earn that space again. Just because you pull, that don't mean right. They're supposed to just open the door. So it's still an everyday process now. You know what I mean? Like, we there, but I don't think our presence is what it should be. But I think it goes back, it gives you the opportunity of how to make your own store presence what it is, your own online what it is, because if I base what I'm doing off of wholesale, that means another store can never show the world completely what Puma is as a brand. You don't have enough space.
Right.
Now, you know, everybody looks at Nipsey, the good brother Nipsey, we look at him as the icon he is right now, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you did a Puma deal with him a few years ago.
Yes.
How many, like four or five years ago,
it
right?
It was a while. And it was funny, I'm glad you said that, because when I did this mixtape shoe, the idea came to do some technology with it. And I'm not a tech guy, but my partner is. And I was like, okay. But the reason why I really wanted to do it, because the first time I seen that tech was at Nip store.
Mm-hmm. Back to 90, right?
No, at the marathon store.
Where.
Like, the whole store was set up virtual. Mm-hmm. Like, you walk in and you could take your phone and scan the wall, and video and content would come up. You take the tag mm-hmm. and the shirt and scan it. And I was like, what the? We talking about a kid from Crenshaw, man.
Up,
like, I'm like, I'm in that blown away. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what the heck is this, right? So they even pay homage that way now, to keep that even going is a salute to him, because I felt like then when we talked about Puma, he was like, there's no way in the world they're going to get a skinny tattoo gangbanger a deal. And I was like, man, I don't care what they think. You're an icon at that moment. Like, I'm like, you.
How did you know back then?
It's the human side. Mm-hmm. It's back to the human side. When you in front of a special human, you know the feeling of that. You know people that you really call close friends, or mm-hmm. people that, mm-hmm. not even close friends, but when you do get to see them and they special humans, and you know that time when you get to see him, he just was just a special.
He had that glow.
Yeah, he was just a special, special human being. Mm-hmm. And when you seen that, to deal with and be involved in all that and grow up in that, but then when you get to meet him and his spirit and his tone and his genius, it's like, then I was like, oh. It's like, it goes back to, yeah, you from L.A., but we no different. It's like, mm-hmm. you was an icon at that moment. Mm-hmm. And from there, it was like, I envisioned him in a T7 tracksuit at mm-hmm. that moment. And from the time he wore that T7, I've never seen nobody
rock it like him. Nah, you're right.
Never seen nobody rock that. It was like meant for him.
Mm-hmm. I even tried to do my socks like it. I can't do it. I can't do the way he did it. I can't do it.
It was just meant for him. So, you know, when something is meant, I was like, man, it's like, it was just an honor. Like, mm-hmm. for me, and the beautiful thing about that was, at that moment, it wasn't the craziest amount of money or whatever. Him and his team understood the value of partnership. Mm-hmm. Like, when I seen that, and Puma seen that made you be like, oh, I want to be in partners with him forever. Mm-hmm. Because he understood partnership. He understood the value of, I tell people all the time, you're going to Puma and everybody wants deals and want to make money. And I'm like, they're going to pay you whatever. But I'm like, the best way to get the best out of a Puma partnership is to realize how to make them work for you. Mm. Give them what they want, but make the machine work for you. Mm-hmm. And you can get way more. On top of, they're going to pay you whatever, but you're going to get way more out of it because it's such a broad machine and they good people. Like, mm-hmm. you don't get in this world and find too many good people in spaces, right? You know, no one's perfect, but they coming in with good intentions. So if you got that and you know how to make the machine work for you.
I was going to ask, well, who's the first person you gave a deal to in the industry, whether it was athlete, actor, artist?
Well, I didn't personally give it to him, but the first one that I can say that I was a part of, like, we should do this, mm-hmm. was Solange. When we did Solange Puma deal, mm-hmm. way before.
Seat at the table?
When she did the thing and she came in, created, brought her team in, and mm-hmm. it's probably, you know, it's still iconic, one of the best, you know, collabs, partnerships we did then, you know. And like I said, as this was during a period where, though, she was finding her greatness even more. So it was like, it's the same thing as it was before that. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, no one really knew that till I spoke on it. You know what I mean? It mm-hmm. was like, because I was just sitting at the table and I'm seeing who everybody wants to run for. And I was like, I think you should go Solange route. And they like Solange. And I'm like, think about it. She the one at that moment that the people you chasing are paying attention to. Mm-hmm. And I just looked at it through that lens and they trust me on that and it worked. So that helped, you know, me for me to be able to say, let's go this route and go that route and go that route.
What made y'all go to Puma or Puma come to y'all? What made that partnership happen? Because, you know, we've known, of course, Hov had sneakers with Nike. He's had sneakers with Reebok, you know. He's had sneakers with all these different sneaker brands. So what was it about Puma that said this could work?
I think at that moment for me, I took on the challenge because it was at a time where the artists wanted to be in the sneaker, you know, wanted to tap in that space. So at that moment, Meek was, you know, really one of the first ones, Puma. And for me, it was like our artists wanted to be in that world, so I got to go over here. But for me, I looked at it through that lens of I'm watching at that time. My son was young, and kids thinking that the only way they was going to be cool was wearing Jordan and Nikes. Mm-hmm. And they was alienating everyday kids. And I'm like, you can't do that. You know what I'm saying? You can't alienate the everyday kid thinking, you know, putting them in that, if you're not a cool kid, you can't do that. You know, especially right now when we realize about mental health and everything else, mm-hmm. like that's not helping the process then, right? And I intentionally did not wear Nikes or Jordan for a while. I was like, I'm gonna wear every other brand just to show him and his friends that you don't need that. So it was just a mental thing to show, you know. And then I liked to walk into the events we was having and we say we sneakerheads. You just can't come in with a Jordan, Nike, or some Yeezy and say you're sneakerhead. Mm-hmm. You gotta go and dig up some things. And
Patrick Ewing's.
Go dig up some things because it's like, remember, sneakers was the thing was though the culture turned them into icons. Mm-hmm. Not taking nothing away from the Jordans of the world and all that. You gotta figure when Jordan 1 first came out, you know, you could barely, you know, give them away.
Yeah, right? Nobody rocked with Jordan 1s for a while.
So then when the culture embraced it, you know what I'm saying, that's the beauty of who we are. That's the beauty why y'all got these beautiful chairs.
Wasn't the DMV, you know what I mean, big on New Balance at one point?
DMV is New Balance kings, man.
Huge.
It ain't no question, no knock, and all due respect to whoever that, you know, wear New Balance, but DC and Baltimore has been New Balance forever. It's mm-hmm. like, just like you talk about Uptown's Air Force One, mm-hmm. great New Balance has been that for DC and Baltimore. Absolutely. Forever.
Yeah, they're making a resurgence all of a sudden.
No, they winning right now. Yeah. I mean, I think when you look at a brand who's, you know, made in the U.S. is a U.S. brand, it's a, you know, family-owned brand, and they stuck to their guns, and right now it's in a place where as though you get to drive the car you want to drive, and I think that's culture for you, right? It's a returning door. I remember when I first came home, and you know, New Balance was my thing. You know, everybody was like,
"That ain't it,
Because you got to think about it, you know. But it's beautiful to see because I think that's the beauty of sneaker culture. That's the beauty of fashion. That's the beauty of just culture in general, right? It's like when we really put our grips in something.
They got a new designer. Whoever doing New Balance now, in the last 3 years, they got a I don't know who it is, but
I think it's the kid from Queens.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, but that the creative director
is dope. Mean, like he's putting out designs that's dope, and it doesn't matter. Like he's just putting out dope designs, and they're having. I know they must be having a hard time because I never see New Balance in the sneaker stores.
Yeah.
And if I do, it's not the ones that I see with the big N and the dope colors and the dope designs. So. Yeah. They're doing. So let's talk about this mixtape now.
Hold on real quick. I want to stay in the fashion just for 1 second. Mm-hmm. I want to pivot, still in fashion, but just the paper planes.
Yes.
How did you come up with the idea for paper planes? Because remember, it was 12, 13 years ago, it was rock aware still.
I think, well, you know what it was? It was just going through that phase of rock aware. When I came home, rock aware was still around. And, you know, Jay was like, you know, what you want to do in this fashion, my thing. So it was like, I took on the challenge to say, let me go and show the building that rock aware is not dead. It's the fact. It's just brand fatigue. Everybody that moved on. It is not the brand. It's, you know how we are. We're brands. We move on.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't got nothing to do with the designs. It's just we move on the brands. We do that quick, right? Mm-hmm. That's just the world. So I took that challenge on just to show that part because at that moment, it was still like a men's side. It was still like a $50 million brand, even at the point when everybody was like, I'm not messing with that and this thing. But it came a time, it's like, what was next? And we had this young designer, and we brought Dawi in from mm-hmm. public school.
Mm-hmm.
Dawi was a creative director, and you know, he was going back and forth with this idea, and then all of a sudden came up with this plane. And it was like, oh, that's it. And then once you took it, you just take a life of how do you build the narrative and the story around it, you know what I mean? And just continue to add to it. And my mission and our mission has always been, how can we continue to inspire and help people imagine? So that's what that plane took on a life, because it's not about the clothes. We're not selling you clothes. It's, you know what I mean? We're selling you a feeling and want you to feel like you can be something else. And I think that's more to me why it's a brand today. You know what I mean? Like I said, I'm not going to go back. No one's reinventing the wheel. We're not going to design mm-hmm. something no different than somebody else's design. I just think the meaning and the feeling of it, which gives us life, because when you look at it, you fast forward, it's the face of our whole company now.
But you mentioned brand fatigue, right? Why don't we see brand fatigue in a lot of these white brands, right? You look at, you know, whether it's Gucci, Fendi, Louis Vuitton, you could say Steve Madden, you could say Gap, mm-hmm. you could say, you know, whatever.
You see brand fatigue.
But they're still successful people wearing them. I feel like with our coach, a lot of times, it's like, I feel like it just, like, people not only slow down wearing it, it's almost like they shit on it.
Oh, no, that's what we do.
Which
that's
is just, crazy, but we don't do it for the other brands.
I mean, it's just us.
Alexander McQueen. Like, you don't see it, you know, you might see it go up and down, but it's still steady. Nobody shits on it. But our brands are just, whether it's FUBU or Rockaway or Fat Farm or Sean or was Diddy shit, like,
yeah.
It's like, I feel like we turn our back to it, like we shit on it.
Yeah, I don't think it's because it's fashion. I just think that's who we are. We wake up, we deal with a thing where we wake up every day looking for what's next.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we done created with this new. It's like you wake up every single day, what's next? Because think about it. Being in New York, right? You got the different boroughs, right? The thing that separated Harlem, right? Because Harlem was always coming in, what was next?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you gotta, what's the next thing? It's mm-hmm. like during the summertime when the record game's going on. It's mm-hmm. like, it's not even just clothes, cars. Everybody's coming in, what's the new spaceship?
Mm-hmm.
Right,
it's like, look, yeah.
It's like that's the, and it ain't got to be the expensive car. It's like 1 year is the Honda station wagon, right? You're gonna see a few guys who are gonna come through, colored up their way, rimmed up their way. Next mm-hmm. year is the coupe, such and
three
such.
Series. Then it's, it was three, yeah.
Yeah, it's just we always that way. And I think when you look at brands like Gucci and all them, before we came in the fold to say, you know, we messing with them brands. Look what they had been through to solidify themselves to be in a position for us to say, okay, let's go do that, right? It's a lot of history.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of history. You know what I mean? It's like a lot of history there. I think with us, you see it in the hood, right? You see it where we from. We quick to, you know, there's a restaurant right on the corner that's mm-hmm. black owned, but guess what?
Go to the Chinese spot. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's just, you know, I think how we wired, but I think...
You think white ice is colder sometimes.
Yeah, but I think you see it now, as though you have to say that you see the world, we embracing us more and more.
Absolutely.
And you mm-hmm. can respect that because right. you see it. And it's a great thing. You know what I mean? It's a great thing to see. We could talk about what happened before. It is what it is. But I think it did help us get to a point where, though, people are waking up right now. And, like, I'm embracing us, our brands, what we're doing. I'm talking about really supporting it and really going for it. And that's a beautiful thing. It's like a growth thing, right? It's a growth thing.
I remember watching you in the Roc Nation office about a decade ago. You was walking around the office throwing the paper plane around. I was like, why is he throwing this paper plane around? I remember asking you that, and you was like, that's what's next. That's all you said was, that's what's next.
I mean, that's the beauty of it, right? Because you, when I can have this conversation and I can have somebody talk about that moment of there, then it's bigger than the clothes. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, when you look at y'all, right? When y'all started this Breakfast Club, right? Mm-hmm. This is bigger than just being on the radio. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? This is culture in its own way. So when I walk in here, I don't look at y'all as just from the radio. I don't look at the program, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the plane represents. It's like, you know what? We flying around that program. Because even though being here is a program, right? Beautiful big program, but it's still a box. It's a program. Mm. That plane represent culture. We've never been programmed. Mm. That's why we 50 years hip hop right now, right? Mm-hmm. Because you can't program it. You can't. Like, if we'd have let the world program hip hop then, mm-hmm. we wouldn't be here now.
True.
And that's the beauty of being in this moment, right? Even to be a part of it, even all of us, because we all a part, we all grew up off of it. We all got some DNA of that. That's what pushes us to say, I can be the real estate guy. I can be, you know, the entrepreneur over here. I can be that. This hip hop culture thing gave us that lens that we can do that.
Absolutely.
That's real. Now, where did the name Humble Souls come from? Mm-hmm. When I hear the name, of course, I can see how it's spelled, it's shoes, but that's what I think of when I think of Emery Jones, a humble soul.
And I think when I the artist that's a part of this, you know, when they brought him in to the office, I think Sherry and Omar at Roc Nation, they did a great job of just who they tapping into mm-hmm. as far as talent. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you got to find what makes sense for you, right? Mm-hmm. And I think they tapping in, and not just some talent individuals, they good kids, they good humans, right? And I think when they brought them into me before any of this, and I'm like, yo, what, you ain't got a record, you ain't got nothing, but you good, so you know me, y'all. You know what I mean? I'm like, whatever I can do, mm-hmm. I'm in.
Absolutely.
I'm in. I'm not going to wait for you to get a hit, and then it's like, show up and be like, I'm in, right? So over the years, when you build these relationships and bonds, and I had a chance to do this, I was like, you know what? This is the perfect time to do this, because I feel like in the world at this moment with so much going on, right? Humbly, like, you need some of that to get through. Mm-hmm. Like, don't get me wrong, I stand up every day and I'm proud of everything I do, and, you know, I'm a, you know, put that foot forward and salute myself and love that I get saluted, but I think the humbleness of me getting here and being able to come back here, like, I remember, you know, at a time was the people here, you know, y'all opened the door with open arms, mm-hmm. and we came and had a real conversation. I don't think I had a real conversation till now, having it again, but from that moment, right? Because, you know, you felt the humbleness in it. Yes, mm-hmm. you see what I was doing, but, you know, I the humble side of it. So when mm-hmm. these guys, I felt like that's what they was, and I just flipped the souls because we're doing sneakers, and it's all just, you know, that's hip-hop, right? Double entendres, right? Mm-hmm. So it was like, let's flip the souls, but I think that they just good people.
Vincent, man. Fire. Yeah. Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. You got to take Ruben. Look who he's under. Mm-hmm. He's under a real humble cat. Mm-hmm. Ninth Wonder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Guru.
Guru.
Yeah.
Rhapsody,
mm-hmm. yeah.
That right there. So you take that, and you get to get that season every day and that toolage every day. It's like, it could only get you. And then, his parents are African, man. So you got to figure, they came from Africa, and he's like that first generation here. Mm-hmm. So you take all that going on, and then you give him some opportunity to help change his family life. Hey, it's the perfect thing. I just thought the name was just perfect.
What made you reach out to Clue and get him back in his mixtape bag?
Man, listen, when we did it, think about it. We brought all these artists together 4 days to L.A. Mm-hmm. They have never been in the studio together.
4 days?
4 days. Mm-hmm. Never been in the studio together, never hung out. Most of them meeting each other at that moment in real time. And we got 80% of this project done in 4 days. Mm. So it was just the energy, the synergy, right? So when we was done, it was raw. The team was sitting back like, yo, if we're going to do a mixtape, we got to reach back and figure out who's going to host this. Mm-hmm. And we got this poster in the wall, in the office, in my office, about we did a board and everybody wrote in there. We put it, did a survey, the best mixtapes ever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody's, you know, they young, so they talking, you know, all the things that I really, you know, I know about, but mixtapes to me was different growing mm-hmm. up. Mm-hmm. Mixtapes was a pot of gumbo. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't albums. They mm-hmm. was a pot of gumbo, and you know, that's what I grew up on. That was my internet and social media to the world mm-hmm. before mm-hmm. it was social media, because I could find an artist from North Carolina, mm-hmm. Texas, on a mixtape.
Absolutely.
And they came and they had the board, and out of all the, you know, that new generation stuff, it was two names on the board mm-hmm. that was from before. DJ Clue. And then they had Flex on there, mm-hmm. right? And my team, Cheyenne, I got to give her credit, she kept saying Clue. Her mm-hmm. thing was Clue. Like, she was adamant. Clue. And I was like, you know, okay. You know, I don't like asking people. You know, I don't want to feel like I'm. Mm-hmm. But then I thought about it, and I was like, you know what? Clue, for me, Clue family, mm-hmm. without even being family. I was gone doing all that. But mm-hmm. when you know, he's a part of.
The dynasty,
mm-hmm. a part of, you know, what helped me be me, right? And helped me get through. And I look at it as family. I don't look at it no more, no less, right? We ain't mm-hmm. never got hang. I look at it as family. So we reached out and I had a conversation with him, and I just broke it down to him what was really going on and why I was doing it. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I was doing it, he was so into that. Like, given the artist a platform again without being programmed and mm-hmm. and doing this, and then taking a sneaker was, though I didn't need a mixtape to sell a sneaker, mm-hmm. but taking the platform of Puma and Foot Locker and saying, okay, I'm gonna do this mixtape, and we merge them together, but let these artists have a runway from that. Mm-hmm. And then they can drive off and drive their own car to wherever. We don't own the music. Mm-hmm. I don't get nothing off of this. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, Roc Nation is putting it together, but the artists own their own songs. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you get to drive off and do what you want. And he was like, I'm in, right? Without even hearing the music, right? I was like, nah, I got on a plane, came to New York and played it for him. Like, and I'm like, I had to play it for him, because I'm like, this is the time I need you to wrap your arms around it, mm-hmm. you know, mold it mm-hmm. and make sure it's that. And that's what Clue can do, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, here. So it ain't like I'm coming and this is my project. This is our project. This is us. Like, you know, like I tell the artists, this ain't my sneaker no more. This is our sneaker. Mm-hmm. Like, so he came in and wrapped his arm around it, and I got to go in the studio with him and Duro. And I was like, come on, man. I'm like a kid.
It's mm-hmm. a Clue tape.
I'm like, I'm like a kid watching, you know, I got Duro outside. Like, mm-hmm. mixing it, and I'm like, so it's, I'm having a moment myself, and it's like, oh, we get to add a page to this 50 year hip hop, not this year, but that whole book. We get to add a page into that book. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, this, you can't go wrong. And then first thing when you heard, we got in there, and he start hitting with the, you hear his voice off the top, you like,
right. Put you back into that moment.
You like, mm-hmm. and then you take that, and to be honest, music is good.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Like, and that's you take that on top of the music mm-hmm. being good, and like I said, I think it's just setting the tone of that next chapter, not mm-hmm. just for the artist, whatever that is for Clue, whatever that is for me, whatever that is for Puma, whatever that is for Foot Locker, whatever that, whoever's involved, I think, this is bringing the best out of all of us, right? And I think that's when you make something great. When you can set back and we take everybody to Boston, I take them to Puma and let them, but then the people who's doing B-roll from Puma come back and show me something. They shot behind the scenes. It's like, you see, when you bring that energy in the room, it just brings the best out of everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think Clue just helped to bring the best out of them. And I think for Clue, for me, we talked about it, mm-hmm. I think Clue has so much to offer to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm ready to set back and champion and root for him on just being able to give that knowledge and show the world of what he done in this 50 years of hip hop, mm-hmm. what his, you know, contributions have been. Like, the world needs that.
That's mm-hmm. right. I told him yesterday he got to use this tape to step back into his legacy.
Mm.
The world needs that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's hard because, you know, when you're in your comfort zone and you don't want to, but I just think this is that time was, though, the world needs that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so much going on and so much good, bad, and ugly going mm-hmm. on. Like, we always can take that. Clue is history, man.
Absolutely.
Clue, you know, Clue is one of the ones, when you talk about mixtape, you got to put him, his name, at the top of the list
mm-hmm.
about what mixtape became.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Absolutely.
It's needed.
And how can people get this mixtape?
So right now, the way you get it, we dropped the single. Got the single out. We got some content out right now. It's only on the sneaker.
Mm.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's only on the sneaker right now.
You get the sneaker and you got to do the QR code? This one got headphones on.
So, when you get the sneaker,
mm-hmm.
we got a chip in the sneaker.
Mm.
So that means we can always change out content, add content, add music, man. Right? So you go and you download the content and the music on the sneaker. So right now, it's just to keep that energy. We going to all DSPs, mm-hmm. but it's just right now, we just having fun because, I think for me, I didn't want to get into the program thing. Because once you start the program thing, we take away from why we did it. We take away the human side of the artist. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to fit into this box of mm-hmm. what's going on. And I want people to see this process. Like, we got all the content of us making this. Like, in the studio, making it. You mm-hmm. seeing it in real time. You seeing this camaraderie come together of just young talent. Like, in a world where they say we can't get along,
mm-hmm.
come together from everywhere, from Chicago, Brooklyn, you know, New Orleans, is Compton. It's like all this synergy
mm-hmm.
going. So, you know, from now, you get it all.
That's dope.
Off the your phone.
Tab. That's crazy.
Phone. That's dope.
So when the sneakers come out then?
Sneakers came out on the 14th.
Okay.
Oh, they're out now. Okay.
14th, Puma.com or Footlocker.com. You know, it's a Footlocker. This style is a Footlocker exclusive. But I felt like at this moment, that's a beautiful thing because we're going to utilize that platform to tell our 50-year, you know,
absolutely.
Hip-hop and all that, and make it make sense. So this is the original. So this is the cassette tape. So mm-hmm. it's the evolution of music. So you go from the cassette tape
mm-hmm.
to the CD player.
Ooh.
Sony Walkman. MP3.
Ooh.
So it's just the evolution of music.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just paying homage to the evolution of music and just showing my respect to what helped me be who I am. Hip-hop culture helped me become Emory Jones, Vegas Jones, whatever you want to call it, is a big part of who I am, why I'm here, and why I do what I do. So it's just a homage back to them. And I go to tell everybody my favorite part of the sneaker is look at the shoestring tips.
What'd it say?
Auxiliary plug for your headphones.
My God.
You know
oh
what I'm saying? It's just, it's just the moments, right? Just to be able to play the moments. And think about it. It's from, remember the old TDK?
Yep.
So it's like, just paying homage, man, to why we're here. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah. What size is that?
It's my size,
man. I got y'all size here. A few of them, they get to the office today.
Word.
But it's good because I get to get the team size and we can come back and make sure.
Well, that's why you asked me my size.
Yeah.
I had to ask.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy's crazy.
Charlamagne hit me at the blue, like, yo, what's your shoe size? I'm like, what?
Yeah, that was me.
I said, yo, you flirt with me in the middle of the day?
No, that was me checking in.
Nah, I appreciate you, bro.
Hold on, I got a few more questions.
Yes, sir. Because,
you know, it's Emery here, it's 50 years of hip hop. You don't get to talk to Emery too often. The other day, you said it was hard for you to even stay in the museum.
Yeah, it's heavy. Mm-hmm. It's heavy in a great way. And I'm, you know, all my friends know me. I'm emotional. You know what I'm saying? I've been through a lot, and I'm not afraid to be emotional. I'm not afraid. You know what I mean? That's just joy. It's like, you know, and it's heavy. Mm-hmm. It's heavy when you set back and you know, see what, you know, you've been a part of. Like, you actually been a part of, you actually have added some value to what you're seeing, right? Mm-hmm. And just to, you know, look at my big brother and just, you know, to watch his accomplishments and still look at him as, you know, not Jay-Z, not, you know, Hov, not, you know, all that, but see Sean Carter, the human, right? And such good human being he is, right? So to watch all that and take that in is like, and to be in Brooklyn, like to be able to bring that back and give Brooklyn that, you know what I'm saying? Not just Brooklyn, New York, but then, you know, being in Brooklyn to give that at that moment, it's a lot.
With a police escort.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot. It's beautiful. It's touching. But it's heavy to die just because, like you said, you got to pinch yourself every day. Like, it's just really real.
Mm-hmm. Was you also emotional because a lot of that you might have missed?
No. I didn't miss it because it helped me get through to be able to be mentally strong and prepared for my opportunities that was in front of me. Mm-hmm. So I didn't let that time going by and missing that be a downer.
Right.
It was an upper. So I really didn't miss it because if they win and I'm winning.
Gotcha.
I said I looked at it. I'm like, I can get up and go to sleep and deal with that madness I'm dealing with and be like, nah, like, man, I know them. I know how good they are. I know who they are, and they winning. So it's like for me to witness that, it never gave me that part.
Absolutely.
It was like, I'm saluting, I'm that. Think about it, I went through that phone, I got some of my closest friends from the system and the streets from Queens. You gotta figure, I'm in Fort Dix doing, you know, the rap battles and the vibe, but it was never a thing amongst us. We never, you know, we had fun about it. It's like, you can come in and brag about it and be like, yo, I got one up on you and you, but it was never, I never looked at it, no difference. I never looked at it, you know, from a thing. Because I looked at it as, yo, we have an opportunity to win. Not just them. The door going to open up for everybody to win. Even if you ain't got to deal with music, it was just opening up the door for us to win. So for me, we can always grow to get out of that small thinking, become bigger. I always looked at the bigger picture. Like, we got a chance to win, man. This is something that's, you know, you watch with the, with the OGs did to open up the door for when them 90s came in. And you got to be honest, the 90s ran with it in a way was though it opened up the door for us to be respected in a different way to now. And then you, like you say, now it's like everybody like, well, I don't like what's going on. There's always been some good, bad, and ugly.
Right.
Day one with me. It's always been
absolutely
that. It's no difference. It might be a little more, you know, advanced and broadcasted more, but it's no difference. You know what I'm saying? It's the world. It's like, we can't put it on music. It's, you know, the world is the world. So, you know, we're just dealing with shit different ways, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you believe it was divine order for you to get locked up? And the reason I say that, because, you know, I think Jay was in London, right? When you and your crew got arrested.
But Jay
was always with you. So if he was here, he might have been with you during that thing.
I mean, think about it. It was, everything is ordained. Mm-hmm. That's the way it is, you know what I mean? It's ordained. At that moment, that was something that, you know, Allah wanted me to go through.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That was something that I had to deal with, right? And I look at it as, you know, I wouldn't change it for nothing in the world because, you know, if I change that, that means you're changing some other things in life. It was it. I think it was just ordained. It was just ordained the way it was going to be, right? And I think, for me, I went through that time. Is a lot of people went through worse situations during my period of time gone than I did during the time.
That's real.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's real. I was thankful to not lose, you know, a parent, my mom, or nothing during that period. You feel what I'm saying? Like, don't get me wrong, I was missing it, I'm hurting, all that. But there's a lot of things that happen to people every single day that was in the world.
Right.
That changed their life forever.
Absolutely.
That's right.
They ain't still, you know what I mean? So for me, I did, you know, I take it in that grain and it was ordained.
I got two more questions. You and Jay, the whole Roc Nation, y'all constantly pour back into the community. What's the secret to mastering elevating out the hood without leaving it behind?
I think people do it in different ways. Sometimes, you know, it's money. Sometimes it's presence. Sometimes it's just, you know, education, right? Because if you know, we just had the 20-year, you know, gala, right, for Estee Carter, and to hear the stories of people getting up there, and it's like, you know, I didn't get into college and, you know, blah, 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 and I kept going, but now I get my PhD, and it's like, you know, someone that looked like you. So it's different ways, I think. For me, I think the human side of, you see all the success, even at my level, people see the success, and it's like, you don't even think that's attainable. But when you get a chance, for me, to really be hands-on and understand that it is, and you can touch it, I think that's the biggest give back for me. Like, to continue to do that in different ways. And I think, as collectively, we all find ways to continue to just, you know, understand the human side of it and being connected. Because guess what? You can't go and be in the hood like you want to no more. It's just that's not even right with or without it. Mm-hmm. It's just not happening, you know what I mean? But for me, I take time out to make sure that I you know, I'm touchable and the human side of, you know, getting to where I got to is like, it starts with you first.
Absolutely.
You know?
My last question, what's your favorite Emery Jones Hove reference in a rap record?
Can I live without saying the name? You know what I mean? Viva Las Vegas, meet me at the crap table, the one that starts a G up. Mm-hmm. You know, Frost, Willie, Gambling, they re-up. That's a real time before it was a Rockefeller Records. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a real moment. Like, I acted like I owned in Vegas at that moment, and they gave me that name, Vegas Jones. Mm-hmm. From that record, like, we was in Vegas without no deal, running around doing Mike Tyson fight, but we knew that the next chapter was that. Mm. So, you know, that to me is my all-time favorite of all time.
That's why you rocked the Reasonable Doubt and everything?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely, because think about it. This Reasonable Doubt was just not Jay's album. It was all of our albums, right? Mm. It's life, right? It's that, you know what I mean? It means so much more than, you know, just the music. Just, it means so much more. It's just, even for us to be able to take that next step, that means you grew up some in life. Mm. You know what I mean? Like you said, that go through that moment of saying, am I going to do this or I'm not going to do that, right? To take that step and get that done and that process, that means you etched on the board that you grew up some. You took a step forward. Without that step forward, we might not be in this position right now. Mm. We needed that. Like, that's why it's so important. That step right there gave us room to, you know, not saying we got it right, not saying we perfect, and not saying we did some things that was, you know, good. But that first step helped us be in this position today.
And he probably didn't mention the name on purpose back then.
Couldn't.
So fast forward, Grammys, you on one side, OG one on the other side. E was down 10 for this. We just got his 10 back and went back like where the interest is. M light up the 03. Like, now, how did that feel?
You know, I think he tricked us on that. Me and Juan still talking about that, right? we show up and, you know, we see everything going on and we see this big table. Me and Juan. And you know Juan is, you know.
He never on camera.
Yeah, he's like, and Jay like, we at the table, man. Juan like, yo, we ain't getting no contracts for this. We joking, right? Mm-hmm. So me and Lil Wayne, we laughing about it. And then Lil Wayne says something that was the butt of the joke the rest of the night. He said, yo, he got y'all doing pro bono work. That was our joke the whole night. Mm-hmm. But it's just like at that moment, you don't know, and that's your brother. You know, because to him, it means so much just to to him first, right? Mm-hmm. And to be able to help accommodate that and that moment and all that is like, you take it so real. It's like, come on, man. Like, it's my, you know, to watch my guy at that moment and, mm-hmm. you know, his Grammys, his LA, you know, and the thing. And it's like, whoa, like, you know what? I'm go back to, it's ordained. We supposed to have been there.
That's right.
Regardless what, right? We supposed to have been there, right? Mm-hmm. It's a moment in life and it's a moment in chapter. It's that chapter we supposed to be there. And it goes back to say, without reasonable doubt, that chapter might not never happen.
That's right.
Man, y'all legends ain't even a strong enough word, man. Straight up right. What y'all have brought to the culture, man.
Well, there you have it, man. We appreciate you joining us. Make sure you pick up the Pumas, the mixtape. And this is, I think this might have been the longest interview we've done this year.
Well, it was the most fulfilling.
That's absolutely
that
was for me. Absolutely.
Thoroughly enjoyed this conversation.
Emery Jones, we thank you for joining us. Appreciate you. And thank you for the kicks, too. Amazing.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Said,
my
monogram out there, too.
Huh? You said what?
That monogram out there, too. And you listen to the mixtape, they tell you go get that monogram.
Yeah, that's
too.
Right.
Yeah, you know. It's the same thing as
in a couple spaces.
Else. Just take your time.
That's right.
Take your time. Ain't no rush. You take your time, man. Ain't in no rush. Take your time, man. It's like anything else. Take my time. Take
well,
our time.
Well,
nah, just thank for real. Thank you for everything that y'all do for the culture, man. And just,
absolutely.
You know, even for me, just being the source of just being able to pick up the phone sometime and get some game.
Absolutely.
You know, Emery is a person that's always sharing their resources. Mm-hmm. Like the Black Effect logo is because I reached out to Emery because I wanted to create something like Paper Planes. He was like, he plugged me right into who does what, you know, even with the hats, Mitchell and Ness, all of that. So
absolutely. Thank
you,
brother.
I mean, that's what we do, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're supposed to do.
That's absolutely. Right.
Exactly.
Emery Jones, it's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your Frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.